Welcome to Reading Under the Covers, a romance novel podcast. I'm Francesca.
And I am Suzanne.
And today we have a special episode for you guys. We are interviewing an author that has been a favorite here at Under the Covers for many years. Yeah. I think Suzanne actually discovered her when she was just a few books out, right, Suzanne?
Yeah, it was, oh my gosh, it was years and years ago now. So I think she hadn't finished her Colorado series. I think she might have finished her Rock Chick series, or the last book might have been coming out, or the last few books. Yeah, so I have read nearly all of her backlist as it's come out, which makes me feel so old. But yeah, Kristen Ashley is very much part of my book reading history and has made up a lot of my love for certain things like The Super Alpha. I'm super excited to chat to her.
And I actually may sneak in a question in there that I haven't told you about. And we're going to see if Kristen answers it, but for sure I'm going to get you to answer it. So kind of like think back of your heroes. Just forewarning you.
I already know my favorite hero. Well, I've got two favorites, actually, but that's fine. Don't make me pick.
We're excited to get to chat with her. And we hope that you guys enjoy it. And that if you haven't read Kristen Ashley before, you pick up one of her books. Obviously, you're missing out on a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are so much fun. So hello, everyone. Kristen has joined us. And we're really excited to see you. I am a huge fan. I've been reading your books for so long. So yeah, it's really lovely to see you, and we can interrogate and / talk to you about your books. So I'm super excited. But for the crazy people who might not have seen your book, can you let people know what wonderfulness they need to expect from a Kristen Ashley read?
Well, okay. I actually have lost track of how many books I've published. I think it's over 90. And I jump genres. I write practically everything except historical. So I write fantasy, I write romantic suspense, I write contemporary, I write mature. I do what I call a romantic thriller. I tore myself away because I started this weird urban fantasy that I wasn't expecting to write. And I was just fiddling with an idea. And of course, it's drawn me in. So I'm now writing that. And it's not your normal urban fantasy. It's very weird. But anyway, I will write anything. But mostly, you can expect that there's going to be an alpha male. Very alpha male. And mostly I like to, it's really important to me to explore found family, especially the sisterhood. So practically in all my books, there is a very close, at least one close, if not an entire posse of female friends that help the heroine or stand her side or at her back or wherever she needs them to be. And hopefully humor, and maybe make you cry every once in a while. I have a very weird stream of consciousness writing style that some really love and some really can't get into. Those are Kristen Ashley books.
Absolutely. Actually, so you said that you write in different genres. Which one is your, like, where do you feel most at home writing in? Which genre do you think?
I love them all. I know that seems like a cop-out answer, but I think the key to it and the reason why I do it is because I love writing. If I could conceivably sit here and write every single second of the day, I probably would do it. I think the reason why I got into this urban fantasy that I was just playing with is because I haven't done any kind of fantasy book in a while. So I'm really loving this right now because it's a kind of a palate cleanser to being in the thrillers or the suspense or the contemporary stuff that I've been doing. I haven't published a fantasy book in years now. Yeah. So it's fantastic to kind of be really world building from the bottom up. But once I'm into that, I will be really grateful to be out of it. I'll be back in Distant Pines, or I'll be back in Phoenix doing an Eventing Angel, or, you know, back in my River Rain group or something. So yeah, you love the one you're with because you're ready for that change.
Yeah. We're both really big fans of urban fantasy, so we can't let that just swing by and not try to dig. Tell us a little bit, what is it about?
I'm a hybrid writer, so I publish independently as well as traditionally. And right now I don't have a traditional contract, so I've been shopping some ideas around to some publishers. And I'm always coming up with ideas for books constantly. And so this book hit me. It's not in our world. It's in a different world. It's not Cara Marie Moaning in Ireland. It's an entirely different world, but it's a world we totally understand. It's in a city that we understand. And yet it's set a little bit in the future. So if you're in this urban city where there's nightclubs, and she's a costume designer for films, and her friend is a manager of an art gallery. So we'll really be seated in things that we understand, but there's going to be a lot of fantasy developed around that. The hero is the prince, the soon-to-be king of the realm. But we're not navigating that in the fact that he's a ruler. We're navigating in the fact that he's a very handsome media star, kind of like William, except hotter. And maybe he can shift.
I'm getting like cyberpunk vibes from what you've said.
Yes. As a genre, it's very dark, and not dark in the sense of it's a dark romance, but in the sense of that kind of idea of, I don't know how to describe it. I sent it to a friend who's also a publisher, and she like immediately texted me and said, what is this? I've never read anything like this. And I said, I don't know what it is. And usually I can write a book in 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, it just pours out of me. But the first three chapters, which was probably about, I don't know, 6,000 words, I pored over those chapters for 3 days because I'm like, what's happening here? It didn't flow. Now it's flowing, of course, but it's not flowing as much as it normally would, because if I'm doing a fantasy, I'll make a lot of notes beforehand. Mm-hmm. So I'll be able to establish myself in the world and kind of get it. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of notes that readers will never see. Like when I wrote The Rising, I mean, I even know what they imported and exported, what all the different countries' crops were, stuff like that, that you'll never see, but as a reader, but I needed to know it so I could be established in that one. I didn't do that with this. It's all just kind of coming out. So I have to fiddle with all of that stuff while I'm writing it. And it's fun. It's been really fun so far.
That sounds fun. I wonder if also you're able to mix in a little bit of your love for fashion, because as a costume designer.
Definitely. And the reason why she's a costume designer is that I watched Marie Antoinette, the Kirsten Dunst movie last weekend. Yeah. And I was just enthralled with the costumes in that movie. They were just amazing. Yeah. And I thought, how fun would this be to actually be a costume designer? In the book, she does everything from the period pieces. But of course, they're not our periods. She's doing the troll invasion right now. She's doing a movie about the troll invasion right now. But we'll get it. We'll get that that's kind of what the costumes that she's making. But she also did a TV show much like Sex and the City. So she was curating designers' clothes too. So it's definitely very fun for me. And also to futuristically dress her and her friends as well, because I want you to know what they're wearing, but I want it to seem a little bit, you know, not what we normally see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still sexy and fun and whatever.
Yeah. Well, I talk about like fashion of the future. Like, I just keep seeing stuff that I was wearing in the 90s as coming up in fashion. I'm like, oh my gosh, this didn't look good in the 90s either. Like, why is it coming back? Get those acid wash jeans away from me. But yeah.
It's funny you say that, because I am definitely going to be relying on the fact that fashion does circle back on itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and like she's got an apparatus. She's got what she calls a Cosmo mask that she puts on that does her makeup for her. But because she's a costume designer, she also paints her own face. And that's not the dumb thing, but people are kind of getting into it again because it's something that fascinates them from the past. And so, yeah, it's really fun. I've never done anything like this, and I've never read anything like this, and it's really fun. So we'll see how it goes. It'll get out there one way or another.
We'll be looking out for it.
Yeah, we'll be looking out for it. It sounds really exciting. So we should talk about your newest release. So The Woman by the Lake, it's the third book in the Misted Pine series of, like you said earlier, it's a romantic thriller. So it's all murdery, which I love.
I love too.
I don't know why. So yeah, tell us about it. So it's the third book in the series. Is it something that you could just dive into, or do we need to go back to number one? Tell us about it.
All the books in the Misted Pine series are their own stories. So the hero and heroine are different in each book. There's an HEA at the end of the book. The bow will be tied on the mystery. So there's not like this ongoing arc that you have to wait with bated breath for the next episode. It's done with each book. For this one, though, I started to think that people would... they would be kind of a Jessica Fletcher murder she wrote type situation if this little town in the Pacific Northwest had serial killers visiting it every 6 months. So I was like, where can I go with this? Because, I mean, even a murder or a death is not normal in a rural small town. You don't have it happen all the time. So for this one, it came to me that maybe we should move backward in time and deal with something that happened before. And making it spooky is the haunted cabin that our heroine Nadia rents. And the fact that the murders that happened 15 years earlier happened just outside her cabin. So she has only one neighbor on the lake that she lives on, Riggs, and they have to get together and figure out what's going on with these hauntings. And she has a very, very, very sad backstory that has driven her to the Misted Pines to get some peace and quiet and get her head straight. And Riggs is, once he finds out what happened to her, he's very protective, and it just kind of springboards from there. I was really into this book. I don't think I've been this into a book ever. I couldn't let them go. When it was done, my mind just kept building this epilogue that was like 700 pages long, because I just really fell in love with these two. I fell in love with Ledger, Riggs' young son. I really just like them very much. So,
nice.
Yeah.
We'll get like a deleted scene or something if you ever feel like putting all that out.
I wish I'd written it down, but I had to walk away, and eventually I had to just... And what happened was, is I started to tell Harry's story in my head. So I have this, I don't know, 25-page document that is essentially the first half of the next Misted Pine books. Once I finish this urban fantasy, I'm going to jump into writing that so Harry will finally get his story. Because poor Harry needs some love, some healing, and he needs some love.
Yeah. So that's how it works with switching off from one character or one couple or one book, and you just have to go immediately into another one, and or you do a break a little bit.
Well, normally, because the way I write so obsessively, I have to do my dishes. I do my dishes and go down and get my mail and actually come back into the world.
Real life.
I'm eating Cheez-Its because there's no more food in my house, so I have to go to the grocery store. So usually I try to take a break and answer emails and get back to life. But fortunately, I'm in a zone where I really have gotten everything sorted. So I do have to get my mail, and I do have to continue to get my groceries. But I'm hoping to really just write back-to-back books this summer. Just write this urban fantasy, then Misted Pines, and the next Avenging Angel, and maybe the next Wild West book. I don't know. I don't know what's going to come to me, but I do know that I have to write Misted Pines, River Rain, and Avenging Angel.
Wow, busy summer ahead.
A good yes. summary.
Do you think there's a little bit of a difference between, because you've always done some suspense in your books, there's always a little bit of an element of suspense. So if somebody has read some of those books, is it much different with this one that you're calling a romantic thriller?
Well, kind of, yes. I don't know how to describe it. It started out, I thought, very thrillery. But with The Girl in the Mist, which is the first book in the series. And I like the idea of playing around with the thriller aspect where you're not in the hero of the situation's head. Instead, the heroine is the one that's telling us of what's happening with the thriller plot while she's watching the hero investigate it. And so all of these things are happening to him, to her, to the town, to, you know, victims and everything. And she's reacting to it based on how the investigators are reacting to investigating it. And I found that really fascinating to come at it from. And then she's drawn in, of course, well, at the beginning, because obviously you're going, because the first thing that happened was an 8-year-old girl gets kidnapped. And so anybody's going to be drawn in for that, because it's just so horrifying. So, but then the second book I'm following, that we're in the head of the investigator, which I didn't think was ever going to happen. I thought the whole thing was going to be all in the heroine's point of view. And I think it's more, I think the second book feels more like a suspense book than a thriller. I think part of the thriller is that she's removed from it. She doesn't know what's happening with the investigation. Right, yeah. She's in an integral part of it. So I think it's more of a suspense to be in it, and a straight up love story as the hero and heroine fall in love, because we're deeply involved in the investigation. So.
Did you have to do much research into investigations and how they're conducted for the second book?
Yeah, and how the FBI is, the hierarchy of the FBI. And hopefully I got it right. You don't want to be calling somebody a title that they aren't. The stuff doesn't happen that we see on TV shows and stuff as fast as it happens. Yeah. So trying to make it a little believable, even though it's fiction, and instill a sense of, you know, that the hero knows what he's doing, because doesn't snap his fingers and the DNA tests are back. You know, normally DNA tests take months, if not years, to happen. So kind of using, I don't want to use the word tricks, but it is tricks to, because I'm not an FBI agent, to make him more believable by putting those more realistic aspects of an investigation in there, rather than him being like a superhuman and running around and demanding these tests be done and remanding, you know, those results to be in. It's just not, or even, I mean, it for the first body, it took days even for the autopsy to get done, you know, and it's explained why. So yeah, I couldn't say I delved too deeply into it, but yeah, just enough to make him hopefully come on the page for you.
Yeah. You don't want too much realism, otherwise you're just like, oh, we're just waiting for the test results to come back as I investigate this other crime.
I mean, he even wouldn't be investigating a single crime. I mean, in actuality, the FBI would probably not even let him investigate this crime, because it wasn't his crime to investigate. But anyway, we won't talk about those parts.
A little realism, but not a lot.
Too much. So, it's not that I stalk you on social media, but I do follow you, and I have seen that you have been reading lately the Ethan Rourke series. It's not the Ethan Rourke series, that's just what it is in my head. The In Depth series by J.D. Robb, which, I mean, Francesca and I are like super fans of as well. So so when you were saying about your urban fantasy, which is set slightly in the future, that also brought to mind, like, not even Rourke, oh my gosh, the In-Depth series.
It's
the Even Rourke.
It is their series. It absolutely is Ethan Rourke series.
At the moment in my head, it's a Peabody and McNabb series, because I love those two so much.
I do too.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much, because I can't quite remember what book you got to, but yeah.
Well, they are. I think I got to 17 or 18.
Yeah.
So McNabb, Peabody and McNabb are definitely together.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, they're just beginning to cohabitate. I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We just moved in together.
It's so good. So yeah. Yeah, has that been like a big inspiration in the stuff that you've kind of thought about
for
lately?
Sure. And,
yeah.
Yeah. I think when I got this, when I started to think of this idea of, I don't want to say too much about it, but
yeah,
when I started to think about this idea, something happens to the heroine and there's a big plot in the background because of what happened to the heroine well before she even meets the hero. But I think pushing it a little into the future was definitely because I enjoy In Depth so much. But this is even more in the future. So not only is it not our world, but I know that Nora Roberts started writing that series in the 90s.
Right.
You know, so 2058 seemed really far away. And now it doesn't seem as far away anymore. But the point is made. Yeah. Her world is very familiar to us.
Yeah.
Regardless of the, I mean, I don't even think that there were, yeah, there were cell phones back then, but that was even new. That was kind of a new technology. So I don't think she could have ever imagined how advanced things would get in such a short period of time. Yeah. But I think she did a great job with it. And the thing about that series that, well, I haven't read the whole series, but I've heard many people say that it's exceptional throughout the 50 some odd books that she's written.
Mm-hmm.
But even as a writer, even just keeping that quality of storytelling through 17 books is incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, they're not all amazing, but they're all very good. It's just started the level of very good to, oh my God, that one was great. You'll have three great ones, one fantastic one, and then you might go down to very good again. But there's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've read all of them, and I would agree that they are, like, they soften a bit because just by the nature of time going by, Eve's trauma starts to heal. So there are different issues that, personal issues that crop up, and the circle of her friends expand and you get more of that. So the books change. They're not as dark, apart from the crimes. They can get pretty, oh my God, I'm checking my girls again tonight. But like seeing Eve so happy, I'm just like, oh, just makes me
I had to take a break because she was really driving me crazy. So, and there was, keep going. You know, it's but I mean, I just immerse myself so into it. And fortunately, it's a really long series, so I can take my time.
Oh, yeah.
And my house is beginning to look like a library because I have so many books. I'm blowing off to read all this stuff on my Kindle, and I need to start getting through some of these stacks of books.
Well, actually, who are some of your favorite authors to read? Who are your autobi authors, the ones that you don't even have to read a blurb, or some new favorites?
Well, I love Dorinda Jones. I love everything that Dorinda Jones writes. I I'd heard of her before, but I just started reading her last year and I've read every single thing.
Oh, love her. Love her. Absolutely love her.
So yeah, I love her too. I flew through Shannon Mayer's 40 Proof series, which is now
just reading that
series.
So
it's like we're sharing a brain right now.
I read that series last month.
Loved
it. Yeah. It's really, really good. I'm kind of bummed this over, but sometimes it just has to end. And other than that, I don't really have, I kind of dip in and out of books, and I don't really, I mean, I'll find something, like I mentioned the Karen Marie Moaning. I came to those really late, and then I completely was obsessed with them. And then I read all of those. I did the same thing with the Black Dagger Brotherhood, came to those really late, and then, you know, did nothing but, my bed was like detritus of food and coffee cups on the, and my cats were like, what, you need to get up. You've been reading like 7 days straight. So fortunately, that's the way my life is. That's one of the reasons why I didn't start In Depth, because there's so many of those books. I knew that was going to happen, and it happened. But
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Those are some good ones.
Yeah, I was going to say. Definitely the good thing about coming to things late is that you then do have a nice little pile that you can fully gorge yourself on until that urge has been satisfied and you can, you know, move on to your next prey.
Which
genres do you gravitate to reading, though? Because it sounds like it's a lot of paranormal.
I like everything. So, yeah, I like everything. I love historicals. I've been reading romance since I was about 12 or 13 years old. And historicals were always my big, I love that. And then when I started writing, one of the reasons why I can't tell you all of these authors that I'm absolutely in love with is because once I started writing, I got out of the habit of reading, you know, because essentially I'm typing and reading all day long. So it doesn't seem as much of a relaxation type of thing after it's over. But also when you write so much, I try not to read when I'm writing because the voice of, I would never read even Rourke right now doing the Serb and Fantasy.
Right.
That suddenly everything would be an auto chef, you know, and a drying tube. And my hero would become more and more like Rourke. And my heroine, who's very girly and shy, she would start to have Eve qualities. And I don't want to do that with anything like that. I started a police procedural thriller last night. So because it's nothing like what I'm writing. But I got out of the habit of reading and I really didn't read much of anything for years. I got back into it a few years ago. And now I'm just reading everything I get my hands on. And it isn't just romance. I mean, I read a lot of thrillers, like Riley Sager, Steve Barry. I got Dave Grohl's book on my nightstand. I have Obama's and Springsteen's book on my nightstand. So pretty much everything.
Do you remember your first romance book you read? Since it was, you know, when you were a kid.
No, yeah. My mom belonged to the Harlequin Romance Club. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if they do that anymore, where every month they'd send you four of those white books with the oval on the front and the couple in the embrace. There was no sex in them. They might kiss in the last page. So that was probably why she allowed me to swipe them and read them. So it was those. But for Harlequins, Penny Jordan was my favorite writer. And then I got into reading the actual novel, full-length novels. Because really, those little Harlequins presents were probably mostly like novellas. I mean, so then I got into the big ones. And I loved Judith McNaught and Jude Devereaux and Julie Garwood. Mm-hmm. Loved them.
And Knight in Shining Armor.
Yes. Oh, God.
Such
and when I lived in England, my in-laws were like, they knew I wanted to be a writer. And they were like, our neighbor is a romance novelist. You should come over and meet her. And I said, oh, that'd be great. So went up to Cheshire. To their house, they had dinner. This beautiful blonde woman walks in. Her name was Penny Hossel. And we started talking romance. And I said, do you publish under your name? And she said, no, I published under the name Penny Jordan. I'm sitting having dinner with my favorite romance author. And I think I almost slid off the couch.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
so that was a very, very unexpected and happy moment.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I know. It was bizarre. I think I got choked up and almost started crying. Sadly, she passed away of cancer not long after that, but she was lovely. And I was really glad I got to meet her.
Yeah.
Serendipity.
For sure. For sure. So do you think you read more on your Kindle nowadays?
Yeah.
Than your paperbacks?
I really love books, but this is the thing. I have trouble sleeping. Really bad issue sleeping all my life. And the routine that I've gotten into is to turn the lights out and have my Kindle in dark mode, you know, and read. And for me, it's really relaxing. I'm in my own little cocoon, my own little world, and I can read until I get really sleepy and then set it aside. And you don't even have to find a nightstand for it. You know, I just tuck it under my pillow and fall asleep. So yeah, I'm kind of leaning more towards the Kindle as much as I really love books. And last night I woke up in the middle of the night and this thriller that I'm reading is an actual book and I had to turn the lights on to read it. This is a bummer. But I did. Yes.
You gotta get one of those little night light things.
Yeah.
I do. I should get one of those.
Yeah. Kindles are the best though.
I just said you can carry 100 books without hurting your back.
Yes.
It's awful when you fall asleep with the Kindle because it's very painful when it hits you in the face. It happens to me all the time.
I was going to say that happened to me recently. And then you're awake again. And then it's just, oh, for God's sake.
That's funny because I sleep on my side. So I read on my side. So if I fall asleep, it just falls to the bed. You know, so
nice, much safer.
Yes. Maybe train yourself to sleep on your side.
Yeah. So do you have any favorite heroes, like the ones that like really stick out that you're like, if they were real, they would be for me kind of hero or heroine?
Lee is my ultimate for my books. Yeah. Lee is my ultimate hero. And it's mostly emotional. That was the first series that I ever really found my voice in writing, and I kind of just dropped all the rules that I thought were around romance writing and just wrote what I wanted to write. But also that was the only book my mom read before she passed away, and the last communication I had from her was a letter about the book, and that she finished the letter, "I hope one day you find your Lee." Aww. So he's always been my favorite, but there are definitely ones that stand out. And I don't, Joe from At Peace stands out. He was just so broken. And I absolutely love how he fell in love with three girls in that book. I just loved all of the different love affairs that happened in that book, not only with Vi, but also her two daughters and how they came to depend on him. I really love Johnny Gamble from The Hookup. He is just the salt of the earth, good guy. In the weirdest times, when he joins her on the picnic blanket and he's got the baseball cap and he's looking out for her because she fell asleep and she's got the baby with her. I don't know what it is about Johnny Gamble, but I really love Johnny Gamble. I really love Deacon. Again, I guess I like the broken ones. I mean, he was just really, really broken. Deacon from Deacon. But I think maybe I just like these quiet love affairs. They just live in these cabins by this river and they found love against all the odds. And she's just owned some cabins. And she was precisely what he needed to help him through something really ugly. And so... But I could probably go down the whole list of every single one of my heroes and wax poetic about them.
They are great and like fairly unique. So you said about, I assume you mean Lee Nightingale from like the Rock Chick series. I always really liked Hank from that series. I don't know why. I think I just, yeah.
I think that the psychologists could probably... across a few things from who's Team Lee and who's Team Hank. I definitely think that they can.
Yeah.
Because I obviously, when I met Hank, when I wrote the Rock Chick books, there were only going to be, the only stories were going to be the men in Nightingale Investigations. So there would have been no Eddie, there would have been no Hank, there would have been no Wren, and Hector wasn't even a thought in my mind at the time. But the minute I met Hank, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to go with that because he has to have his own story. I mean, it immediately veered off because the same thing happened when I met Eddie. So there's Lee, and then the next two books aren't even, you know, Men in Nightingale Investigations at all. So, yeah, so I fell in love with both those guys, too.
I would have been so disappointed about Hank book. As soon as he's on the page, I'm like... can't wait to read his book. And I started reading that series where most of them are already out. So I'm like, and it's coming.
Yeah, Hank's a good guy.
Would you recommend any particular book for people to start with yours? Is there any book you think, right, this is a great intro into Kristen Ashley? Or series, for that matter?
Well, I would always say Rock Chicks, because that will definitely give you a sense of my voice. And the kind of heroes and heroines I write. But other people have definite different ideas. It's really interesting because a lot of people think you start with Colorado Mountain, the Colorado Mountain series, The Gamble and Sweet Dreams. But I don't, you know, so it's hard to say. And some people even say Dream Team series start with Mystery Man, but, you know, the Dream Team series is kind of a spinoff on the Rock Chick series. So but I would say Rock Chick.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, see, I think
you gotta get the vibe.
I think I might have been like Colorado Mountain. But that's just complete bias because it's my favorite series of yours. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I recently reread Sweet Dream. I love those books, but I probably haven't read the... I recently read The Gamble and Sweet Dreams. I'm going through the whole series, bibling it, and before I started writing. And I probably hadn't read those books for 7-8 years. And so it was kind of like rereading it. I mean, reading it for the first time a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, this is going to sound not humble at all, but I was like, these are really kind of good. And I think you wrote those in the beginning and that you've gotten so much better with your craft. And so in your head, you can kind of twist them into thinking, oh gosh, no, they're terrible. I don't ever want to go back there. I don't want to read that. Oh, I'm sure it's awful. But I was really pleasantly surprised that they were good.
Hey, if you don't like your books, then, you know, anyone else. But no, I reread Sweet Dreams on a semi-regular basis. I really love that book.
Yeah, Tate, he's quite an interesting hero in a good way. Yeah. I like him because he's very, 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 very flawed and incredibly lovable. I think he was maybe one of the most real life men I ever wrote as a hero. You know, because, I mean, he could be a dick. He lashed out when he was angry or when he was frustrated or, you know, when things were getting on top of him. I mean, he just had real, real man problems. He had made a terrible decision about the woman to spend his time with, his dreams derailed, and even his friend Bubba's an asshole. Bubba takes advantage of Tate, he takes advantage of Crystal. And so it's really interesting to read that book because he's just the real guy. He's a hot guy, you know, and he's an alpha guy. And you watch him as well as Lauren figure out how to be with each other. There's one specific part in that book where everything is piling up on him and he comes home and he's kind of acting like a dick. And she immediately thinks, okay, the custody trial is coming soon. And I can't match his attitude with my attitude. I got to take care of my guy. I have to understand where he's at because he's got a lot on his shoulders. And so I love the way she handles that. But on the other hand, even though we're not in Tate's voice, we see him doing the same things for Lauren. Like when her father has a heart attack, he takes over and he looks after her and he gets her where she needs to go. So yeah, it's a really interesting book. I did good with that one.
Definitely did. You just see them, like, they're such different people at the end of the book than they are at the beginning. And some of it's through their interactions with each other, but some of it is just that, especially Lauren, she just got the space to grow as a person. And then I really enjoyed it. Sorry, any chance to talk about Sweet Dreams and Tatum Jackson, I'm there. It's a great book.
And I love Lady Luck in that series. And I love Bree. I love that series. It's a good series. Once I get some writing done, because I don't have any books written for next year, and I really need to get on that. Once I get some writing done, I'll go back to bibling that series, and I'm looking forward to it.
I was going to hound you for which was your favorite Kristen Ashley heroes, but you took care of that on your own.
Yeah, Hank Nightingale and Tate Jackson. And Tex as well. I know he's not a hero, but... he kind of is. Doesn't have his own book, but
did a survey of favorite hero, favorite heroine, and favorite side character. And it's weird. I don't remember the favorite heroes and heroines. I think Tack was hero. Tack from Motorcycle Man. Mm. And I think I don't remember the heroine, but Tex was by far the favorite side character. So yeah, and it was Avenging Angel, which is a definitive next generation rock chick series. And I'm really excited for everybody to read the second book, and I'm really excited to dive into that series more. But I love how happy everybody was to see Tex show up in the Avenging yeah. Angels. So it's going to be interesting to, yeah. I don't want to say too much to say what I think, but.
Yeah, he's just so good though, Tex. He's just so gruff, but so soft.
Yeah. He was a real person. I mean, he's based on, when I was in Denver, I lived in Avis Row House in the north of Denver. It's much different now than it was there. In fact, the row houses have all been renovated and they're beautiful. But then it was a pretty poor part of town. It wasn't the greatest part of town. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Kumar's shop was on the corner. His name wasn't Mr. Kumar, and there was a Vietnam vet that lived across the street from us who sat on his porch with a shotgun and night vision goggles and kept the blocks safe. I only ever met him once. I'd had my stereo, my car was parked out front, and I had had my stereo stolen. And they really, really messed up the dash when they pulled the stereo out. And I was just like standing there because it was like the third or fourth time my stereo had been stolen. It had never been stolen in front of my house. It had been stolen in parking lots where I was working because it was really a bad part of town. And I just stood there, oh man, not again. And I felt this hand land on the top of my head and I turned around. There was this big, huge guy. And he said, I'm sorry I wasn't out last night. And by the way, you have a taillight out. And I just felt so safe, you know, mm-hmm. that he'd noticed that I had a taillight out on top of it. And he was upset because he wasn't out to stop, you know, because it's a real violation when somebody steals something from you. And they broke my window, too. So it was awful. Anyway, but he was awesome. And that's the only time I ever spoke to him. You know, I lived across from him for a while, and I saw him, but I never spoke to him face to face. And I don't think I said any words to him and Tex was born. So he's more than likely not with us anymore because he wasn't young then, but he will forever live on the pages in Rock Chick and Avenging yeah. Angel and wherever else I could show him. Because yeah. he will never, ever no. die.
No. And not only that, but he will be well yeah. loved by.
Yeah.
A load of people. Yeah.
You had shared that story, I remember, at a conference, and I still to this day remember it because it had made such an impact.
That... Yeah, it's an indication. I should tell it more, actually, how great, if you're just thoughtful and kind and look out for your neighbors, I mean, he's the most beloved character in my books. I would say if I did a survey of the most beloved characters in all my books, Tex would win, you know. So it's really funny that just his kindness carries on and will carry on for as long as people read my books. So it's a lesson for all of us to learn in how we treat each other.
Definitely. You never know how your kindness, how much it might affect someone.
I was like 22 years old. I grew up in a small town in Indiana. We left the keys in our car. I don't even think we had locks on the door, you know. So I was really in a different world. And then suddenly I know that I have this guy looking out for me and I felt safe again. So it was for him, it was just what he did. He never left his house. Yeah. He was probably significantly struggling with post-traumatic stress from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Man, he left beauty in his wake.
For sure.
Thank you for having me. It was fun talking to you guys.
It was so fun talking to you. Thanks for coming on. Yeah.
So if people want to, you know, do a little bit of stalking, where can they find you online?
I am at kristinashley.net and pretty much across all of the social media, Facebook, TikTok and Instagram, I'm Kristin Ashley Books.
Yeah, so make sure you go check out Kristin's social media. For us, you can find us under the covers bookblog.com, and you can see sporadic posting on Instagram, UTC Bookblog. We do mean to be better, but mostly we just haunt our website and podcast. So you should go, you know, subscribe to this channel and give us 5 stars and stuff. Yes. So follow us there. And there's great stuff, lists, recommendations, reviews. We've got it there.
And be sure to download The Woman by the Lake.
Yes, definitely. Yes, when did it come out? It's in July, isn't it? Is it already? I thought it was out in July. I don't know. My brain is gone.
No, it's out. It was out on Tuesday, June 11th.
It's out. It's ready for you to read, dive in, the whole series.
Yeah, you should definitely read the new one, but also read all the other books that we've spoken about. So Rotchick, Colorado Mountain, yeah, Chaos MC as well is really cool. But yeah, thank you very much for joining us today, Kristen. Mm-hmm.